Now, I'm not trying to say that both these men are equally wrong. That's not what I'm trying to say. Mr. Missionary is certainly closer to the truth in that whole area than Mr. Washer is. Okay? What I'm saying is that there's no fundamental difference between what they're both saying. Yet, Mr. Missionary thinks he's correcting the error that people like Mr. Washer are walking in. Mr. Washer's answer to the Christian who is caught in sin or who practices sin is to tell them they were never saved to begin with, so they need to repent and be born again. Mr. Missionary views that as wrong, thinks that's wrong. So what is his answer to the Christian who's caught in sin or who practices sin? His answer is, expose their sin, rebuke them for it, warn them to stop, they'll go to hell, then remind them of who they are in Christ. And that's going to give them the victory, okay? His position is that exposing their sin won't bring victory, rebuking their sin won't bring victory, threatening them with hell won't bring victory. The only thing that's going to bring victory is when they believe who they are in Christ. And we already saw that he thinks belief will produce the reality of victory in your life. He doesn't think that believing the truth will help you resist sin. He doesn't think that believing the truth will give you more strength to resist and overcome, to battle sin, by encouraging you to exert your own effort in that battle. He thinks that believing the truth will cause God to somehow make that truth become a reality in your life. Therefore, he's just replacing the error of people like Paul Washer with his own error of false faith. Now, if you were to confront Mr. Missionary about his false faith, his teaching, he would probably deny it up and down. He'd probably say, no way, I'm teaching. He might say, he certainly does believe a believer must crucify his flesh. He might say he just forgot to mention that particular aspect. He might say a lot of things, but the fact is, what he actually wrote in his article, was that we shouldn't just be exposing and rebuking people's sins. We shouldn't just be threatening with hell over those sins. Rather, our main goal in exposing, rebuking, and correcting should be to show them, quote, how to walk in an overcoming way. How to walk in an overcoming way, okay? And since that's the purpose of his article, I'm assuming that he hasn't left out of his presentation any important truths regarding how to walk in an overcoming way. His answer to how to walk in an overcoming way is on believing. That's what his focus is, on believing the truth about who we are in Christ. Believing the truth will result in an overcoming walk. I don't think he forgot about the need to crucify the flesh every day. I think that crucifying the flesh every day is not part of his winning strategy. I think he believed exactly that victory over sin is a result of believing. Now, my friends, whenever you run across a minister, teacher, Bible teacher, preacher, pastor, evangelist, anybody, conference speaker, who says they found the key or the secret to walking in victory over sin, and that key doesn't include crucifying your flesh every day on a daily basis, brother, you need to run from that person as fast as your little feet will carry you, because he or she has been deceived, and the enemy is trying to use them to deceive you. Okay? There is no key, there is no secret, there is no theological angle in existence that can truly bring us into an overcoming walk without dying daily. The Apostle Paul said very clearly that actual righteousness, possessing your position, experiencing what you are in Christ, actual righteousness and sanctification comes through obedience. Through obedience, not through believing, not through confessing or anything else. Romans 6, 15 through 16. This is what he says. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether sin unto death, or what? Belief unto righteousness? Belief unto sanctification? No, of obedience unto righteousness. Whom you yield yourselves servants to, that's a servant you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Okay, in other words, obedience is a thing that produces actual righteousness. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for actual righteousness, sanctification, okay? The possession of your position. The New American Standard says it this way. You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. That's actual righteousness. So obedience is what produces sanctification, people. Obedience is what produces it. Belief is important. Belief is part of the process. Belief is necessary, but it's actually obedience is what produces sanctification. It's what produces the actual righteousness in you. And part of that obedience is the Lord's command to die daily, to deny self daily, to crucify the flesh daily. These are things we must do. They're not things we can simply believe. Okay? We can't do them in our own strength, of course. And nobody in the Bible says we should. That's true. We must have the Lord's power. We must have the Lord's help. That's why Paul said, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay, we have to do it through the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, with the wisdom of the Spirit. Okay? We can't possibly crucify our flesh daily in our own strength. Nevertheless, we have been commanded to do so, and God's going to hold us responsible for whether or not we obey Him. Okay? Therefore, I beseech thee, brethren, obey God and live. Obey God and live. I'm going to sing something for you here. I'm going to sing a song that I wrote for this occasion, for this message. I wrote it last night.
If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the flesh, if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the flesh, you shall live, you shall live, you shall live, you shall live. So I beseech thee, brethren, I beseech thee, brethren, I beseech thee, brethren, obey God and live. Obey God and live. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the flesh, if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the flesh, ye shall live, ye shall live, ye shall live. Shall live. So I beseech thee, brethren, I beseech thee, brethren, I beseech thee, brethren, obey God and live, obey God and live. You, through the Spirit, do mortify the flesh. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the flesh, ye shall live, ye shall live, ye shall live, ye shall live.
That's my last exhortation to y'all. Obey God and live. Crucify the flesh daily. That's the answer. Amen. Anybody have any comments or anything to say or share, Ed? Irma. We got Sister Irma. Go ahead, Sister Irma. You got the mic.
Okay. I was meditating this week. I was in the Psalms. And I'm going to read Psalm 126, verse 3, quote, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." I can say this concerning your Zion's trumpet ministry these past couple years. It has helped and been a blessing to me more than any other ministry I was involved in since I was saved. I give all the glory to God. However, I know you sacrificed much in seeking God's truth over many years, and I want to thank you for sharing so much with us. As a result, we are wiser and very much encouraged to keep pressing in. Thank you for setting us free from so much deception, and including tonight, it was very, very interesting. I was blacked out on my screen twice, but I was going to listen to it tomorrow anyway. And Dan, do you remember in the beginning of this program, I think you referred to me as chicken. Well, that was true. But I feel like I'm flying like an eagle with a group of overcomers, and thanks to you for that. My prayer is for the Lord to supernaturally strengthen you, body, soul, and spirit, as he sets you apart for a season. I know he still has much more for you. And to all in the chat room, I send my love and will keep you in my thoughts and prayers. My richest blessings, may they abide with you, God's richest blessings, excuse me, abide with you, Dan. And thanks again for giving so much. Shalom.
Thanks, Irma. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's nice to know your labor is not in vain. It helps somebody. Amen. Looks like Stand Fast has something. You got the mic, sister.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I trust you can hear me. And I want to thank you, Dan, for opening my eyes in so many ways in the last couple of years. Surely been a blessing to me. And while the music was playing tonight, I wrote down a few notes, different things, a couple of things I remember today, too. And I want to thank you for teaching me about religious spirits. And I've got my feet wet in it. I'm sure that there's a lot that I need to learn and know and reread and relearn and keep it fresh and get it deep down inside of me that so that I never forget it and I'll always remember it. And the teaching, can you anybody hear me, about the Antichrist spirit, how it's already here. And it's big time deluding Christians everywhere. And that was really an eye-opener for me. And also the pre-tribulation rapture here. I used to wonder about all that myself. I couldn't seem to find enough in the Bible to put it together to make that fit somehow, but to sound pretty good. But I thank you for exposing and that and showing me the truth about it. I'll never forget Package Deal Salvation, because you really, 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 really hammered that one into me, praise God. And I always believed that you could lose your salvation, and I certainly have no doubt now after all your wonderful teachings. And I thank you for that and all the scriptures that you used. And also, how you enlightened me that the religious spirits don't only operate in the church, that they operate outside the church, and that too was a needed warning. I used to be involved in I don't know what you call it, probably a cult, I suppose, the pulling down of strongholds over nations and territories. So I used to believe that lie, but on my own, I came to the conclusion that, if you can pull them down, God can answer your prayer. Why not pull them all down in one prayer? So while thinking about that and meditating on that, I came to the realization of the truth of that through God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And certainly you gave the scriptures and everything to confirm how that was a big lie. I remember you teaching about the two marriages, and in my readings that some things didn't add up, and I don't even recall the actual words of those teachings, but I did remember that there was things that I couldn't put together. Of course, there's a lot I can't put together, and all I'm saying is that those little doubts and wonders and meditating and all that is enough to open your mind, and you've certainly increased that avenue to open your mind and to think about what God's Word is really saying and not what we were taught. And I think for me, probably the biggest eye-opener of all was what you taught on, I think it's 2 Thessalonians 2, where those who oppose it and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I used to wonder where this fit in, because sacrificing animals is an abomination, and I used to wonder about that scripture a lot. I wonder what would take place for that place to become the temple of God. So I used to wonder about that, and I thank you for setting me straight on that. Praise God. One night when you were teaching about, and you kind of offered a little challenge, did we ever think it might be possible that another spirit would be telling you to read the Bible? And immediately it came to my mind that it did happen to me once, I believe. I know myself and another woman was in a conversation back and forth with scriptures, and I'm not sure whose interest we had at heart at the time. And after I got off the phone, you know, I ran to the Bible to get whatever, and there was a check in my spirit that, you know, I wasn't doing this in the right spirit, so I didn't do it. So that kind of reminded me of that little incident. I guess when you talked about, because I've been rereading your teachings on unclean spirits, that 6 or 7 series that you did, and it just reminded me again that to use discernment when I'm dealing with those that are not Christians, and even of my own family, those spirits can attack you. So that's some of the things that you've opened my eyes to. I know I've only had my feet wet in a lot in most of the areas, but I do feel that I certainly have a much better foundation to press on and go on and be the person that God would have me be. So I want to thank you and look forward to your return. Praise God. So thank you very much, and the Lord bless.
Thank you, sister. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Looks like we got Sissy. Sister Sissy. Go ahead, Sister Sissy. You have the mic.
Hi, Brother Dan. Hi, everybody. Just want to thank you very much for this teaching tonight on just the belief system. It seems to be everywhere. It's throughout, and it's an incredible thing. But I just wanted to share this with the folks tonight. I'm truly thankful for this ministry. I've been away for a couple of weeks. I had a lot of searching to do in my own heart, been dealing with some issues that are, well, I don't want to go into, but primarily I've discovered that truly what the Lord said about our enemies being in our own home in these last days is absolutely true. I've experienced it firsthand. And the scary thing is that they may look like everything is okay, but it's not, and the Holy Spirit lets you know that. And but I never would have really fully understood this had it not been for the things that I've learned on Zion's Trumpet. And so I want to thank you for that. You and Sister Annabelle have been of great help to me. But it's an incredible thing when you have to deal with things like this in your own family. I'm beginning to understand a little bit of what Brian was explaining in his letter. And I've had to place my children on the altar. I've had to place several family members on the altar of the Lord and just give that over to him, because it's more than I can deal with anymore. But you know, the Lord is so faithful, and he's been showing me so many things this week, and standing, like you were saying, Brother Dan, is not enough. We truly have to walk in obedience to before the Lord. And it's I was watching something this week on PBS about growing grapes. Now, I know this sounds strange, but the Lord showed me something in this. And the man was saying how these particular grapes struggle. The soil is rough and tough, and they struggle. And I kept listening. I think, is he saying struggle? What is this man saying? I turned up the volume a little bit, and he was saying how these grapes struggle. And what was really interesting was that he said the moment they get a little bit ripe, the moment there's a little bit of red in the grape, every bird will come and will devour every single grape off the vine. We have to put a net over them. And I thought, and the Lord was showing me something through this simple program. It was an incredible thing. I thought, wow, that's exactly what the enemy does. You know, the moment we start the maturity process, obviously growing in the Lord, well, of course he's going to come after us. He's going to come after us. And I'm just so thankful. And so, Brother Dan, Sister Annabelle, and thanks for putting up with me at times. And I just thank you. And may the Lord bless you. And I pray that you will come back. God bless.
Thank you, Sister Sissy. Appreciate it. Amen. That's a good thing about the grapes. Good word. Good understanding. The Lord can use anything to teach us. It's incredible. He certainly can. I just want to say this. I appreciate all the prayers you guys are praying for me. I appreciate all the support, moral support, the prayer support, you know, encouragement, encouraging letters, encouraging words, and some of you have been, you know, financially supporting me, and I appreciate that too. I just want to know, I appreciate everything you guys have done for me as well. You know, you guys have been a blessing to me too. Now, hang on a second. Mama wants to get in here and say something.
Hi, everyone. Well, I wanted to say a little something since we won't be talking to you for a while. When Dan was talking about death to self, the scripture was very strongly on my heart when Jesus said in John 12, 24, 25, he says, "Truly I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And the very next verse he says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." Now he's saying, if you love this Adamic nature, if you love this world, if you love this old man life, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto everlasting life. I want to say God brings life out of death. He really does. The death of his son brought eternal life to whosoever will. And today we went out to eat and we had a drive for about an hour, and all the trees are turning and the bushes and the ground, and there are those ugly barren trees and bushes that look really dead and ugly. And at the right time, at the right temperature, the right time, they all spring forth. They're dead. And they spring forth. This is God's doing. You know, we used to sing a little song about what's that about the sod?
Well, when I saw the little lily pushing up the...
Yeah, when I saw that little lily pushing up that heavy sod, then I marveled at the wisdom of our God. And today I just marveled at his wisdom, that whatever he put into that ground, elements or whatever, to bring forth life, they through death he brings forth life. And that's the same way it is with us. As we die to ourselves, he brings forth resurrection life in us. He isn't just going to give us resurrection life, but as we die to ourselves, and that portion that we allow him, the Holy Spirit, to work in us and bring death, resurrection life will come in. That's the only way we get resurrection life, a little bit at a time, as we die to ourselves. And that was very real to me when Dan was saying this today. So I just wanted to bring that in. I'm sorry it took so much time. But I'll see you guys in a month, the Lord willing. And if the Lord isn't willing, I'll see you in the kingdom. Praise God.
Amen. Good word, sister. All right. Thank you, Jim. God bless you. Well, folks, anybody else want to share anything? Let's call. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it. Lord bless you. Lord bless you all. And keep continuing on the Lord. No matter how rough it gets, no matter what you go through or what you got to do, it's going to be worth it if you make it. Believe me. We have all eternity to be priests of God, be his representatives. So whatever you got to do now, it's I know it seems hard now. Sometimes it's really ripping out your guts. You want to kill yourself first. But I tell you, it's going to be worth it to be one of those priests in God's kingdom. You're going to be so glad we paid the price at that time. Amen? Amen. Well, if nobody has anything, we'll shut her down. I'll keep you all posted on my website. Next, check back in a few weeks, or next month, maybe three or four weeks, I don't know. I'll put something up when I decide what's going on. I appreciate you all again. Appreciate you all for coming every week and all your input and putting up with some of my rantings and ravings. I know I'm not the most gentle spirit on the earth. Thank you, Stanfast. Lord willing, we'll see what the Lord has. I'm willing to do whatever he wants. So, we'll see you soon, maybe. God willing, and the river don't rise. Keep pressing in, people.